T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ben Roethlisberger, we can play this audio because that was off his footballin' podcast. You know our sister station in Boston, WEEI, used to play on the air what the host said at the other sports talk station in town?
How'd they get away with doing that?
I don't know. I've always wondered about that.
Or just, I guess, the other sports station in town just didn't care because they were getting publicity off their stuff being
played?
That's
how rent-free the other station must have been
in their heads.
In some of their hosts' heads.
Well, I've seen some of those numbers
where they were just
back in the
airing
day.
What the other host said and then reacting
that
to it.
That is not a flex for our sister station. That is the opposite
of a flex.
That's
a long time ago, but they
used to
do that.
That's what I said. Like, yeah, the number. Yeah, I know. I remember seeing stuff about that years and years ago. That is. Ugh. Anyway, hold. You're burying the lead here. It sounds like he had a piece of wood that, like, you would have broken off a chair, Donnie, in an old WWF match lodged in the bottom of his foot. And yes. What is this?
12 years later.
I thought the statute of limitations had run out on making excuses for why a game didn't go your way. But now we get the great shuffleboard reveal of 2023. Basically just assing around playing shuffleboard and whoop!
Here's where my antenna goes up. And I'm like, wait, what on this story? Okay. So let's go through it. So Ben, okay, they've got the team stays in a hotel, but his agent or whatever has a house. So instead of going out and partying in Dallas the week of the Super Bowl, he's going over to this person's house. And they're playing shuffleboard.
Shoes off, respect for the house.
Yeah, responsible, respectful, all those things. So this horrible accident happens, right? It's so bad that Roethlisberger makes a big deal of it in warmups, doesn't like the way that he feels, and tells Tomlin, you better have Charlie Batch ready.
I might be hurting the team if I play. That's how bad this is.
So, Tomlin never says anything about it after the game. Mike's had podcast visits with Ryan Clark and other people and opportunities to be very expansive about stuff.
Yeah,
you know, he's talked about how he wants to get another Super Bowl win. He hasn't won since his second year. At no point has the coach come out and said, what really hurt us in the game against the Packers is that Ben almost didn't play.
Was the giant piece of shrapnel, wood shrapnel, we had to pull out of our quarterback's foot.
Now, we've heard ex-Steelers say that the number one objective in that game was for Ben to be the MVP. And that Bruce Arians devised a game plan for Ben to be the star of the game.
Tailored around his passing ability.
If Tomlin knows that his star quarterback suffered such a freak injury that he almost had to beg out of the game, and then against Green Bay he threw it 40 times with a piece of wood in his foot.
When they were running the ball very well against that Packers defense that had, what was B.J. Raji called or whatever, a
swinging
gate?
Is what Max Starks called him at the Super Bowl this year. Then Tomlin's a real dummy. For not,
or that's all either the case, and he's a real dummy, or, oh, and wait a minute, hold on a second. You're not even including one other thing.
Go on.
Ben admits that this injury, allegedly, this alleged injury happens.
Yeah.
While he's goofing around playing shuffleboard.
Yep.
At somebody's house, not at the team hotel.
Yep.
If, in fact, it happened, his teammates presumably would have known about it, correct?
I would think so.
You would think. Especially his O-line, right?
And I would say especially Charlie.
Okay. Do you not think, even if they respected and liked him, or at least respected him for how good he was, guys would have been fuming that he was jeopardizing their chances to win for what might have been their only Super Bowl in some of those guys' cases by playing shuffleboard?
Well, not only that.
Maybe, his teammates would have been livid.
Maybe some of them would be angry, but others would just be like, just our luck. We lose Pouncey at the end of the AFC Championship game, and then Ben gets hurt goofing around.
Absolutely no chance that every single person involved here could have kept their trap shut for this
long. I was
long.
Just going to say, this is the best-kept secret in Pittsburgh sports history.
Or he is, like, at best embellishing it significantly, or at worst telling you a story that didn't really happen.
Like, don't you think Charlie Batch at some point would have said, man, I was really close to playing in the Super Bowl?
You have really good sources. Off the record, people tell you things about this team.
I've never heard this one before,
That's
Chris.
What I mean. Somebody would have intimated to you, hey, there's a wild story about Super Bowl 45 you've never heard before, but I'm going to tell it to you in confidence.
I said to Pompiani on his way out today.
Bob would know this story,
Bob,
if it had happened.
Did you ever hear about these shards?
Nope.
These Ben Wood shards? He goes, no, this is the first I've heard about it. So, you know, there's so many intrepid reporters. I'm shocked. Like, I don't know how it would necessarily come up, but I'm surprised it never came up on the shows that I did with Ben. I'm honestly surprised, given how Ben is more forthcoming and honest about his injuries, I'm shocked that he didn't say something about it right after the game.
Well, because
like at the post-game press conference, he's like, I just got to tell you guys something. I know we lost, but it's a miracle that I was able to go out there
and
play.
I know why he might not have said anything right after the game. Because the auspices under which he suffered the injury would not have looked good for him. It would not have been like, hey, I was just doing a random workout before the game. Like, I was getting ready. We were doing a walkthrough or something, and I just rolled my ankle. Like, everyone can just chalk that up to freak accident, right?
Yeah.
He would be saying, yeah, we were goofing around at this guy's house that my agent rented or whatever, playing shuffleboard. I got a giant shard of wood stuck in my foot. You know that would not be viewed sympathetically, nor should it really.
Well, then, so then maybe did Ben just keep that secret from every, like...
Because he knew it would be a bad look if it got out. And now with this far in advance, you know, 12 years later, you can tell the story and people just go, huh, that's a weird one.
But if Tomlin knew about it...
He's protecting his quarterback if he doesn't say anything.
And I'm guessing Charlie would have known about it.
I think the team has to know about it. There's no way Ben is hobbling around that locker room and people aren't asking questions. The training staff would know about it. Give the man a larger than normal shoe.
Yes.
When he wore that Franken shoe with the steel plate in it?
Because the wood got stuck in his foot ballooned like it was an inflammation thing that caused it to get so much bigger from wood being in there?
Well, no, I'm thinking
from
maybe
shards?
I'm thinking maybe they wrapped his foot afterwards and then had to accommodate
there you go.
The bandages.
That's a good point.
Did he say left foot or right foot?
I don't know if he specified there.
I just find the whole thing very hard to believe.
I mean, honestly, it would not be that hard.
Also, he mentions in there, I know you guys think I'm a diva because I talk about my injuries. You don't know what I've went through. Most people actually do the thing I do with that.
You know,
he talks too much about his injuries, but he is actually very tough.
What I was going to say about that is that line, though, actually makes me believe it. Because it's almost like, look, I know I've been the boy who cried wolf before, but please listen to me on this one.
I was goofing around on a shuffleboard court and almost had a piece of wood.
Chris, I will say this
foot.
Though: if he's embellishing or exaggerating, it's a pretty elaborate con. I mean,
I should be sympathetic to that because a true story in my past has been accused of being a very specific and elaborate con that I picked exactly 9 straight as the number of 3-pointers
yeah.
I made. But that's a true story. All right, Donnie, better chance I made 9 straight 3-pointers. I did, by the way. Or that Ben nearly missed Super Bowl 45. Which do you believe more? Shuffleboard foot or okay, thank you.
I'll tell you what, though. If Ben's telling the truth here, then I'd love to have his teammates as friends.
Because they
kept this secret for more than a decade.
For over a decade, yeah. I can't get past the fact, though, that it's like we're talking about it now, but he was definitely goofing around, an accident or not. He admits we're running down to the other end to see how it turns out.
Well, you don't expect when you're barefoot that a piece of wood is going to... He should have sued the place.
What kind of crappy-ass shuffleboard court
do they have?
He should
have sued that place and said, you guys, your wood cost me a third ring. Your shards.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Took Ohio State's offensive tackles to dinner at Jeff Ruby Steakhouse in Columbus last night. A filet mignon. $80.
Question 12 ounce, for you. Why don't we have a $80. Jeff Ruby Steakhouse here?
Ohio thing. Columbus, Cincinnati.
Ah, yes. That
and
famous,
then down to Louisville.
That famous bastion of Ohio, Nashville.
Oh, yeah, and Nashville.
And Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah. He's into horses.
I know that, but like, you could maybe put one here. We've got the Meadows Racetrack.
Yes, we do. You're very popular over there, by the way.
Oh?
Yeah, the last time I was in there, they were asking about you.
What's it like to work with that idiot kind of thing?
No.
Well, I guess that's good. I rode on the harness racing down there. I got to go around the track once or twice.
Mike Renner is one of the most popular draft analysts in America. His content goes viral. You see him on NFL Network. People love him from Pro Football Focus. Mike lives in Cincinnati. Mike, how often do you eat at Jeff Ruby's?
I actually ate. They opened a flagship one in Cincinnati the week it opened. And it was the steak was worth $80. It truly is the best steakhouse I've ever been to.
Mike, what differentiates a flagship Jeff Ruby's from just your regular old run-of-the-mill Jeff Ruby's? Now I'm confused.
Well, so it was originally from Cincinnati. It was where the first ones opened. And there's still three restaurants in Cincinnati, but it's like a downtown right in the middle of downtown Cincinnati, right in like the square, Fountain Square there. And it's got like a mobster feel to it. It's like a 50s throwback vibe. It's very cool. If you're ever in Cincinnati, I highly recommend.
Mike, the Ohio State offensive lineman who Mike Tomlin took out for dinner there last night, Paris Johnson, the tackle from Ohio State. If Mike Renner were the Steelers GM, would that be your ideal pick at 13? What would be the pick that would cause Mike Renner, as soon as the Steelers were on the clock, to sprint up to the podium with the player's name?
Well, I didn't realize we're trading up with the Jets to 13 now, but if it's probably
17.
Sorry about that. 17.
Thank you for correcting me. I should know that.
I'm just messing around. But I think you need to get higher than 13 even to get Paris Johnson. So it would be a dream scenario, but they're not the only team that wants an offensive tackle in this draft. And there's probably like a tier of three at the top that I think are the unanimous top three, which is Peter Skoronski from Northwestern, Paris Johnson from Ohio State, and Broderick Jones from Georgia. And if one of them falls to 17, I'll probably be surprised.
Who would be most likely of those three to fall to 17?
To me, it's probably Broderick Jones. I think Peter Skoronski, he fits everyone because he's just a darn good offensive lineman. So if you need a guard, you need a tackle, whatever you need, he's going to fit into every scheme. Jones is the one where he's probably not as freaky as Paris Johnson, has a little limited, more limited playing time, hasn't played as many snaps, as many reps as Johnson has. So I think he's probably the most likely of those three, I'd say.
What about DeJuan Jones as far as, like, where would be the sweet spot to actually be taking him? Like, here's a scenario. All three of those guys are gone, Mike, and at 17, maybe they go corner or something like that. If DeJuan Jones is there at 32, which is the first pick of the second round, of course, this year, do the Steelers pounce? Is that, like, a big-time value at 32 for him?
I think that would be. I think that's about the right spot to draft a player like that because he is going to be limited at that size. You're never going to be Trent Williams. You're going to be Lane Johnson. It's just when you don't move like that, you can't get to that high of an end. But I still think he can be a darn good tackle on his own, right? And the guy you want when you have a mobile quarterback in Kenny Pickett, that he's going to give you some good pockets and some lanes to step up into when he has when he's that long, when he's that dominating when he does win in pass protection.
Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, great draft analyst, our guest here. So the Steelers did something unusual, Mike. They went to Iowa for 2 days, Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan, to watch Lucas Van Ness and then McDonald at Iowa State the next day. So they were scouting up close and personal edge rushers, and each year for the last 12 years, the Steelers' first-round pick has been a guy that either Mike Tomlin or Kevin Colbert saw in person at their pro day. So we're connecting the dots here. What are your thoughts on the Steelers identifying edge rusher as a first-round need?
I think it's kind of the Steelers' way, right? They want to keep a strength of strength. They've kind of lost pieces in recent years. Cam Hayward's no spring chicken himself. And obviously with TJ Watt, you saw when he got hurt, just the difference it made in that defense. So you can't let that, slip, because as soon as it does, the rest of the defense follows. So I do think that they just want to maintain that dominance around the line of scrimmage. And in this class especially, I think it's one of the strengths of the class to say, you'll probably have a talented guy on the board at 17 to step in and start right away.
Who do you like more of the two that they went out to see, Van Ness or McDonald?
I like Van Ness a lot. And truthfully for them, I think Van Ness would play on the interior. I think he'd be kind of that 3-4 defensive end body type, because he did that a lot at Iowa. Like, he was playing nose tackle at times at Iowa. And I think he's a guy who could two-gap against tackles and rush against guards as a pass rusher. So I think that's who I would want more, whereas Will McDonald, we played some on the interior at Iowa State, but he's 239 pounds. He's a skinny dude. He is an edge, outside linebacker, hand up through and through.
How about the defensive tackle from Clemson? How do you say the guy's name?
Brzee.
Is it Brzee, Mike?
Brzee, yes.
Is he 17th pick caliber?
I think he is. I think he's getting a little underrated in this because, one, Clemson didn't develop a damn player on defense over the last 3 years. Like, they have three of the freakiest defensive players in this draft class in all 3 year projects. What that tells me is they were not, going out and putting these guys in the best position, and none of them got better from their freshman year to their junior year. So that right there is kind of works in his favor, in my opinion. And he came back from an ACL tear too this past season. I think he is getting a little underrated because he is a freaky athlete. There is a lot of untapped potential there. And this guy was the number one overall recruit back, in 2000. I think if he falls in this draft, he could be, I don't want to say Chris Jones, but he could be in that ilk of Chris Jones, Kenny Clark, of these high-end athletes who somehow fall to the back end of the first round, and someone is the beneficiary.
Mike, one of our local scribes here who was doing his latest mock draft, he mocked Kalijah Kancey to the Steelers at pick 17. What would, say that actually happens on draft night, what is Mike Renner tweeting out into the world after that pick is made?
I think a holy shit, because they just have
well, you
not
can't
had...
quite tweet that one out or say that one on the FCC airwaves here, Mike, for the record.
That's on me.
We're okay, but we dumped it.
But I'll tell you what, when you tweet that out, if it happens, I will call back to this interview and say he's a man of his word, even if that word is four letters.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Because it is, right? It would be a wow pick because it's just so unprecedented in the body types that they've coveted along their defensive line. They like longer, bigger defensive ends, and Kalijah Kancey is none of that. He's one of the shortest defensive tackles in the draft. He's one of the shortest arm length wise, under 31 inch arms. He is just a pure three technique pass rusher through and through, which is just like not been the Steelers type. But with hybrid defenses, the way things are going, teams are just looking for talent wherever they can get it and then put it in a position to succeed. So while I would tweet that, anything is obviously possible here.
Mike Renner, PFF draft analyst with us. Mike, will Joey Porter Jr. be there at 17?
That's a good question. This cornerback class, I'm very interested to see how it plays out because it's very good. It's probably the best valuable position, shall we say. Like, it's a great running back class, great tight end class. And then corner I'd put right behind those two. But corner is obviously much – gets paid a lot more than those other two and gets coveted highly. But when it's so good, I think a lot of teams towards the top of the draft, if you have a top 10 pick in this year's draft, you're like, it's so good, the top of the second round, I can get a starter too. Like, why am I drafting one of those guys top 10? So I think he could be. I think there's a very good chance he will be on the board there at 17 just because of that conversation for a lot of teams ahead of him. They're saying, I don't need to waste my top 10, top 12 pick on a corner. I can get one in the second. I can get one in the third. So I do believe he would be on the board there for the Steelers when it comes.
Do you like him more than anybody else that might be on the board at 17 at his position? Or is there somebody you think will be there that would be a better fit for what the Steelers like to do, Mike?
Yeah, that's assuming like a Christian Gonzalez from Oregon's off the board. Like, right. I think he.
What about Witherspoon? Who, I know Witherspoon, Tomlin didn't go to the pro day there and he didn't work out.
Because he didn't
do
anything.
Yeah,
he's got that hammy or whatever.
He's got the hammy. But what do you think of Witherspoon specifically compared to Porter?
I think Porter's a touch more versatile just because the body type, you know, so long. Like 34-inch arms for a corner is insane. And he's strong as an ox, too. So he's, I think, just a touch more versatile, whereas Witherspoon is like a man corner specialist. And obviously the Steelers, that's like not really their thing. So I think Porter's the guy that you would cover between those two. But sneakily, I think Deonte Banks would also be a good fit for them, the Maryland corner. I think if either of them are on the board, they have they're going to be getting a good player if they draft one.
Well, Mike, hold on. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to give you a little bit of the background. This city and especially this show, we're very leery of Maryland-connected players or coaches. Mike Tomlin's kid got recruited by Matt Canada at Maryland. They've taken guys like Anthony Booger McFarland from Maryland who have had very undistinguished pro careers. You got to put everyone's minds at ease and say and tell us that Banks from Maryland is legit and wouldn't be a Maryland-centric reach for this franchise.
He is legit. He is. I mean, look no further than his combine to know that he is a special athlete. I think he went 4.3s, over 40-inch vertical, like kicked all those boxes. And is unique in that he's tall, but like his best attribute for being, you know, over 6'1 is his agility. Like, he is a very nimble corner. So much better athlete all around than even a Joey Porter, even if he's not as like technically refined and as physical as Porter is. I think there's still some development to be had there when you do come from a program like Maryland that may not have, you know, the best of coaching. And so I do think that he could be a guy who outperforms sort of or overperforms once he gets to the NFL compared to what he put on tape in college.
Mike, do you think that Jordan Addison would be there for the Steelers at pick 32?
He may be at this point, because he did not have a great pre-draft process. You know, coming in as light as he was, 170s, low 170s, and then not testing well at that size, you know, not being 4.49 at that size, just it's not great. And, you know, people are going to say, oh, Devontae Smith has gotten by. But Devontae Smith was a Heisman winner. Devontae Smith has, like, 33-inch arms. Devontae Smith's wingspan is, like, 6'7". He's a unique dude. I'm not comping every skinny wide receiver Devontae Smith. I think there are issues that I see at that size that it would not surprise me if he falls out of the first round at this point.
Mike, there obviously the Steelers have four picks in the top 80. They got that 49th in addition to 17, 32. Who's going to be there in that maybe between picks 49 and 80 in that range of the draft that you like at wide receiver?
In that range at wide receiver, I think the guy I'd go to bat for if I'm looking for the Pittsburgh Steelers specifically.
Yeah, like they're, I should say their fit specifically.
I think you're probably looking for a slot guy, and they're in luck because there's a ton of good slot receivers in this draft class. The guy I'd probably highlight in that mold, hoping that he falls, is Josh Downs from North Carolina. I think he's a tremendous route runner and just amazing over the middle of the football field. Now, another guy I really like who's not necessarily a slot but could play that role in the offense is Michael Wilson from Stanford. If you're talking about later on in day two, he's a little bit of a bigger dude who probably fits more what the Steelers have coveted, you know, historically at the wide receiver position, which is like talented route runners. So I do think either of those two guys, if they're there somewhere on day two, would be home run picks this year.
I think Tomlin loves the guy from Boston College, Flowers, but I don't think he'll make it that far. Do you, Mike?
No. I think he's jumped Addison at this point. I think he goes ahead of him.
That's an interesting take. Boy. Steelers fans are obsessed with Jack Campbell because he's white and very athletic and plays inside linebacker, Mike. Where do you see him going?
I think he's a top 50 pick. I think he has a chance to be the first linebacker off the board. He has the best tape of any linebackers in terms of like projecting to what you would do in the NFL, because the 220 pounders look great in college, but there's so few of them really making an impact. Like, size still matters once you get to the league, and he has it. Not a lot of guys in this class do at linebacker. So I don't think he's anything special, but he is a plug and play starting inside linebacker who you're never going to really complain about. And that still has a good deal of value. So, kind of an inverse of a Devin Bush.
Oh, boy.
We like hearing that. The last time you did a mock for the Steelers, who did you have them taking, Mike Renner? Do you remember?
Oh gosh, I have no clue. I actually haven't done a mock in about a month. So
you're saying screw mocks.
When does mock season pick back up for Mike Renner?
We'll do a mock. When they make me do a mock. I really don't love doing the mocks, you know. They do great numbers, but it's an effort and futility by right now.
So
like,
you don't want to do the low-hanging fruit of the mock. You don't want to just do the clickbait mock. You're above that, Mike.
I'm not above. Trust me, I'm not above a lot here. But I am just like in terms of the effort versus like how much fun it is to do. It takes way more effort than the enjoyability of creating a whole mock draft.
Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. Mike, you're the best. You're a badass. And you cursed, which we thought was funny. Thank you so much, Mike.
Yeah, sorry about that, fellas. Won't happen again.
You're good.
Thanks so much for having me. Take it easy.
You bet. Mike Renner. That was the answer we were looking for there. Well, he thinks Porter's going to be available at 17. So should we go out and get the Porter Jr. jerseys now?
Question for you.
Yeah.
Quiénes más macho? Who is more strong? Mike Tomlin's ties to Peasy's kid or the Maryland corner he also thinks is going to be there? Peasy's kid, Dino Tomlin. Peasy's kid, Dino Tomlin connection.
I think Penn State's pro day
is
Friday.
Or Friday. Yeah, it's this
Alabama's
week.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Man, you know who we should have asked him about? Son of a gun. Brian Branch from Alabama. Because I think
Mike, holy bleep, get back on the line here.
I think he's in play for the Steelers, too. Because they didn't re-sign Edmonds. I think Casey's a backup. They don't really have a slot nickel corner right now with Sutton gone, other than Mollett, who's not very good.
And they and every other team in the league view slot corner as a starting position.
I could totally see that pick.
He loves Bama guys. Now, would you feel better about Branch than Porter or Deontay Banks?
At some point, hold on a second here. I think I'd rather have Banks, because then I could say, well, it's not the Steelers' bad luck at corner because he's technically a safety. Then they picked Edmonds in the first round, so.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.